We're continuing with the restoration of all things too. When our spirits resonate with truth, we're going to discover that there are many things which go beyond what we presently understand, and particularly what we think are in the Bible. But because we're walking with God in a relational journey, we can discover more about Him, ourselves, and what our role is in restoration itself. We have the Holy Spirit of truth in us and with us as our guide. There's no need to be afraid. We have Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life in us and with us to disciple us and to lead us on that way in the truth to explore the abundance of life that's available to us. We have our loving Father in us and with us to father us into sonship, and love should always be the measure that we test everything against, because God is love. And if it isn't love, and love must be unconditional, otherwise it isn't love at all, it isn't God. So if you don't resonate with anything, then just park it. You know, pursue the truth with God directly. Ask Him for revelation. Don't believe what I say. Don't believe what other people say. Engage God for yourselves. There are so many things that on my journey I didn't understand. Some of them now I do, and some of them I still don't. But that doesn't make them wrong just because I don't understand them. My mind, although my consciousness may be expanding, it is not at the level of the mind of Christ. Therefore, there are many, 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 many things I don't know. And there were many things I was convinced that were true that I now realize were merely man's opinions and ideas, and they aren't true at all. So don't get caught up in confirmational bias. Allow cognitive dissonance with your encounters with God to change and transform your thinking, renewing your minds so that your minds can be expanded and you can begin to embrace greater things than we currently do. So we're looking at four streams of thought converging into one mighty river: mystic sonship, realized eschatology, universal reconciliation, energy frequency healing. And that is what we're going to focus on today: energy frequency healing. So I want to just to say before I start this, my relationship with Lindy Strong of Marketplace Ministries, in which we're good friends, and we've been friends for years, and we're in a covenant, new covenant relationship, has been very helpful on my journey towards these understandings of energy and healing and frequency and how they relate. I have my own journey, but we've been on a parallel path. We've been walking together on this journey for a long time. And a lot of the material that I'm sharing today, I have found revelation come from Lindy and from what they're doing and some of the practical things they're doing. And that's very helped me a lot. And the same thing applies when I've brought revelation, she's embraced it, and we function together like that. What's hers is mine. What's mine is hers. We're in that sort of relationship. So I'm going to share revelation about the different types of energy healing and put it into a context, which she's been very helpful to me in that. Restoration includes personal wholeness. We must be restored if creation is going to be restored. Body, soul, and spirit back into harmony with God, ourselves, and creation, and each other. Energy frequency healing is being restored in this transition period to help us be made whole. And please, please engage that. Be willing to engage it. Energy and frequency are related to many different healing modalities, different ways of doing it. It's also related to consciousness and creativity. Using the revelation of frequency in quantum physics, we can choose reality. As sons, we can radiate the frequency of heaven in the earth, choosing to create the reality of restoration out of our heart relationship with the Father. Einstein said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. And that's what we're going to look at. How different frequencies relate to our wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. So future medicine will be based on controlling energy in the body, Professor William Tiller, Stanford University. Restoration includes restoring sonship abilities to use energy frequencies directly and target them in healing and in creating. So what does energy healing include? Light, sound, vibrations, food, essential oils, crystals, words, thoughts, emotions, trapped emotions, heart, tuning forks, crystal bowls, so many different things. Now, as a foundation for this, our birthright is immortality. Man was created immortal. Sin ushered in mortality to the physical body. Of course, man's soul and spirit is still immortal, but the physical body engaged in mortality because we walked on our own path away from the life that's in him. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil will never produce immortality. Even though people are looking for the fountain of youth, or they may be trying to find technological ways that will increase our life, and that's great, and no problem with that, but actually it still will never bring immortality. Until we come into a restored relationship with the one who is life, we will always be mortal in our bodies. But if we embrace that in our spirit and soul, our bodies will come into alignment with the relationship we have with God as Father. Jesus came to reset the record. Therefore, in his death, we have immortality restored. When we die with him, we're raised with him to immortality. And we died with him when he died on the cross. He represented us fully, and therefore we are raised with him in immortality. All died in Adam. That's the spiritual dimension, which brought in the physical dimension. And all are made alive in Christ. All. But most people, because of their thinking, do not know the reality of it and therefore live according to what they believe. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live and your descendants by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days. So this is an old covenant mindset, but it still links to the fact that life and death are our choice. And we don't have to physically die if we don't choose to physically die. And the length of our days are related to our relationship with the Father. Now, when we're in relationship with the Father, as Jesus was, as a son, we're not there trying to please him. We're not there trying to appease him. We are there in a co-heirship relationship in which heart to heart, we are out working his heart as sons. Obedience is an Old Testament covenant to a law. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, we have commandments which are empowering goals that we can embrace. So love one another is the commandment. Now, we don't have to try and do that in our own strength. How we do that is, as I have loved you. We love because he first loved us. That's the wonder of the new covenant. It's grace. It's his divine empowering. And when we receive that, it empowers us to be sons. Psalm 21:1. O Lord, in your strength the king will be glad, and in your salvation how greatly he will rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips, Selah. For you meet with him the blessings of good things. You set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life of you, you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Now, that is translated as Olam, and it means age enduring. So our life will endure to the ages. Now, we are kings and priests. Therefore, we have intimacy with God and a governmental role, and we can claim this promise. Now, in one sense, you could say this promise was to David and David's line, but of course, Jesus is the fulfillment of the covenant to David, and we are in Jesus, and therefore all the promises of God are yes and amen in him, and we just need to agree with them to enter into them. Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will add to you. So coming into this love relationship will restore the years to our life. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, that is the fruit of the Spirit. That is the truth of our relationship with God. Keep in the truth. Don't live a less than kind of life according to the lies of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Live in the fullness of the tree of life, and we will find that there will be an increase. John 6:50. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, Jesus, so that one may eat of it and not die. Now, he was talking about physical death here, not spiritual death. And he was relating the not dying to the fact that the children of Israel died in the wilderness. So when we eat of this bread, the life that's in Jesus, we will not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And again, that word, aenios, means to, enduring to the ages. So we're not talking about here, in a sense, just forever and ever as a concept, as eternal, but actually we're talking about not dying and living to the fulfillment of our destiny. And if you fulfill your destiny, you can be translated into another realm. You don't have to physically die. You can maintain the connection to your physical body, which gives you access to this realm. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. So this is for the life, for the whole cosmos, the whole world. He gave his life so we could don't have to die. Let's embrace that promise. Communion is where we eat his flesh and drink his blood figuratively. And when we do that, whenever we eat, if we do it in faith and believe and don't doubt, we can see whatever we eat physically, a representation of the life that we have in him, engaging in his DNA, the energy and life that's within him. And he is pure light. And pure light is the most amazing energy that there is. So let's continue looking at this. Second Timothy 1:9 to 10. According to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now that is to all his children. Not according to our works. So this is not an old covenant mindset of earning or working for or being obedient for something. This is a grace function. But according to his own purpose. Now his own purpose, according to Ephesians 1:4, is that we're predestined to have a face-to-face relationship with him. So our being saved from death, our being living in life, our outworking our destiny as a calling from God is not according to our own strength or purpose, but according to his purpose and his grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So before anything went the way that man led it, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit had already agreed that this grace, this divine enabling power, would be imparted to all the children of God so they could embrace it and be restored. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. So what God did before the foundation of time, before the foundation of the world, in the eternal now, has appeared in time. So eternity and time have converged in Jesus. And what has he done in this convergence? Who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, through the good news of what he did and accomplished on the cross. I think this is such an amazing truth, and we need to embrace it, that it's not by works, but by his grace. And he has already imparted that grace to us, and therefore to all, before time began, so that all can have death abolished and have immortality. So let's embrace it. Let's embrace our inheritance. Death has been abolished. Death has been conquered. Let's embrace that and embrace the immortality, the revelation of that, which is now available to us. 1 Corinthians 15:51. to 54. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, we're not talking here about the end of time or some rapture event in the future. We're talking about the resurrection. And if you read Matthew 24 and you read that this was talking about that generation that Jesus was in and would be the generation that followed, you will see that these things have already taken place. The trumpet has sounded. You may not have been around to hear it physically, but in the spirit, it is still resonating. The sound is still there. The dead have been raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, we can embrace this whenever we embrace the reality of it and embrace immortality. That trumpet is still there for us to hear and be changed in the twinkle of an eye. This can happen in a moment of revelation. For this corruptible, our current state before this, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So there's something that you have to embrace. It's not automatically done for you. It's done as you believe it and engage it. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So as Jesus swallowed up death in victory, when we embrace that reality, death can be swallowed up in victory. And we're looking to administrate victory. So all that we're doing is to bring people into a place where they can believe this and embrace immortality. So all of the modalities of healing and the different ways of healing and the different energy healings are not the end in itself. They're to bring us to a point where we can embrace immortality. Romans 2:7, eternal life, remember that's the quality of life, not quantity. Again, it's the word aenios, age enduring life, to those who by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. It's not wrong in our outworking of our destiny, the good works that God has prepared for us, and in outworking that, to seek for the glory, which is our identity, and the honor, which belongs to sonship and immortality. Now, these are not arrogant, selfish things that we do because of our own independence and we earn them. This is by grace, but we can pursue and seek for that which belongs to us as our inheritance. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for a less than kind of life. Embrace the reality and the fullness of life. There's a difference between eternal life and immortality. One is the quality of the eternal now life that's found in the circle of the dance within God, and the other is quantity, means it won't end. So don't get caught up in one or the other, but both. Embrace the reality that we have the quality and the quantity to fulfill everything that God has called us to do as his sons. 2 Corinthians 5, 1-10. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. Again, an age-enduring house, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. Now, that is our spiritual body, effectively. So there is a restored spiritual dimension that we can engage if this physical tent body is destroyed. And eventually we will get an immortal, everlasting body if we lose this physical one and this physical one isn't transformed by that trumpet. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we're clothed, we will not be found naked. So we need to bring our spiritual body, which has come from eternity and is essentially eternal, to embrace our physical body and our soul to come into oneness, that our spirit, soul, and body, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, will be blameless and will be completely whole, totally sanctified, completely whole. So yes, some people have had this physical body destroyed, but they're now housed in heaven in a new dimensional reality. Matthew 17, 1 to 2. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as radiant white. Now, what was this about? I believe this was a forerunner experience of our transfiguration, our transformation, our metamorphosis from mortal to immortal. Jesus was modeling his heavenly dwelling on earth. And if he did it on earth, therefore, so can we do it on earth. We don't have to physically die to get our heavenly dwelling. We can go into heaven, embrace the reality of there, and live that out here as a transfigured, radiating sun. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." So that revelation was to be kept until the demonstration that Jesus had conquered death and overcome, taken back the keys of death and Hades, of Sheol, emptied Sheol, all of that is embraced in the resurrection from the dead, then released that revelation. It became available to us after the resurrection. So the same thing that Jesus did in being transfigured is now available to us because of the power of resurrection has conquered death and the grave. So why energy healing? Because it is one of the tools the Father is revealing in the earth today to help us physically step into immortality by bringing us to a place of wholeness that enables us to believe the truth about immortality. There are other tools that will be used to give us strategy to move into immortality and inheritance. Now, some of these are healing, some of these are our consciousness, but God is wanting us to move into the reality of our inheritance, which is immortality. So we know we need food to nourish our bodies and supply the energy for life. Now, that's a physical thing. But of course, there are people today, breatharians, who are actually living on the life, the energy which is in breath. Remember, within the fabric of everything that exists, there is divine enabling power, energy, which is zero point energy, which we can embrace. So our bodies actually are going into the quantum realm and picking up energy so that the cells of our body, the nucleus of our cells, is energized to keep electrons and positrons and the different particles of that make up our cells, make up our atoms, functioning. So I eat food because I like food. I know Jesus ate food, and he ate food both before he died and after he was resurrected. So this is not about a physical dimension. Food is something that you can embrace. He cooked food for his disciples. He wasn't saying you don't have to eat food anymore if you don't want to. He embodied it. I believe if I didn't need to eat food, I wouldn't need to eat food. I can be supplied by other energy, but I like food, and food is a social thing. So I don't have a problem with eating. I don't have a problem with those who choose not to eat. They live often on communion. I know there are those that teach this, and I have no problem in believing what they're teaching. And they do not eat an awful lot. They eat communion and take communion daily. And they're running marathons without the need to carb load and all of that stuff, because they're drawing from another energy source, which is available to us within the fabric of everything. It is within the fabric of food. So when you do eat food, eat it as if you're taking on the body and blood of Jesus and embrace the life that's in there. Not just the physical energy that you're turning things into glucose, into sugar, which your cells can absorb, but actually there is an energy of the life of God within it that you can embrace. However, when we get ill, we start to look for other solutions. And that's the problem. Our minds get distracted by the symptoms of the things that we're suffering from. praying for Jesus to heal us? Well, that's no problem, because Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Also, there are gifts of healing, which are the gifts of the Spirit. And actually, our spirit has the ability to do the things that the Holy Spirit does as we mature, and therefore our spirit can heal by directing energy, by getting faith, believing what Jesus said, and engaging that with the grace that's available in us and in them, and producing what we call anointing, power to heal, an energy field for healing. But a lot of people visit the doctor for chemicals. Chemicals have become the substitute for life. Now, pharmaceuticals, the word pharmaceuticals, is from the same Greek word as the root as witchcraft or sorcery. Pharmakia means sorcery, magic, the practice of the magic arts. Primarily signified the use of medicine, drugs, then spells, then poisoning, then sorcery. And the meaning of the word devolved. So now we can see that this is being used in a negative way when it may have begun in a positive way by using natural substances to bring healing to the physical body. And there are natural substances in creation that God has made for healing. There is natural within our own body the capacity to be restored. And yet we've moved away from the natural remedies that God placed into there to drugs that actually often are poisoning us rather than curing us. Every pharmaceutical drug has effects. Now, some of them are seen as positive effects, but they usually have negative effects attached to them. Well, look at the side effects that are often in the packet when you read the details of the drug you're taking. Not a single pharmaceutical drug is natural. It's not possible to patent anything that exists in nature. They will not invest the money in something they cannot patent. Now, they're beginning to discover that there are some oils and things in nature, and they're beginning to realize there's money in it. So you'll find that some of the big drug companies will start to use cannabinoid and other natural things, and they'll start to invest in that market and start producing huge crops to try and get the funds from it. Pharmaceutical drugs do not produce coherent frequencies and can distort our frequency. When we begin to take something natural, an essential oil which carries a high frequency, it is designed to bring us into wholeness, oneness in frequency. So be very careful that you don't just reach for the drugs. Engage with God and ask God what he wants you to do. We ignore the provision that exists in nature for our healing. Now, even in some things like some of the drugs like penicillin and some of the antibiotics, they were developed from natural fungi or other things that were growing, and they exist in creation. But they have created a lot of synthetic things to mimic the natural rather than sticking with the natural. And those synthetic things can have major side effects. We ignore the provision that exists in nature for our healing often. Revelation 22 talks about the angel showed me the river of the water of life. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now that has many different levels of meaning, but one of them is if we continue to live within the tree of life and the life that's flowing from there, we will find that that's where health is. And we have the ability to go into the realms of heaven, engage the tree of life, and eat the fruit. It is never out of fruit. There is fruit which is continually in season, and that fruit is available for us to eat and partake of. And actually, symbolically, that refers to the life that we have in God, and the fruit of that life is wholeness and health. So the pharmaceutical companies have done a great job of reprogramming our thinking around health. They're not creating cures, they're creating customers, because they're driven by profit. Never forget that. They're not looking to cure you primarily, they're looking to make money. So Let's look for something that will cure us, will heal us and make us whole, not just that the symptoms will be kept in abeyance because we're taking some pharmaceutical synthetic materials. So what is energy? Well, a definition in physics, the capacity for doing work. Now, that means there is a capacity to outwork something. It may exist in potential energy. In other words, it's stored, ready to be used. That may be kinetic. Kinetic energy is like winding up a rubber band that stores the energy within the band. And then when you unwind the band, energy is released. Thermal energy, which is about heat, electrical energy, chemical energy, nuclear energy, or other various forms. And that energy can be transformed from one form to another. And of course, energy and matter within E equals mc squared, mass, matter, they are interchangeable when you start to engage in with the speed of light. Light is a creative thing. Everything that exists was formed out of light. So the basic scientific fact is everything's energy. Everything is vibrating and contains energy, because it contains the life of God. God is in everything. We live and move and exist in him. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can be changed in form. Actually, matter can be neither created nor destroyed in the sense of it can change, but it exists. In other words, the sum total energy that exists in the universe today is exactly the same as when the universe was created. God created it with the capacity. God is energy. At its simplest, energy is defined as the capacity of a force to perform work or produce an effect. The effect of God is life. Life energy. When God created the universe, his energy was released into it. When God created us, his energy was released into us. The energy, and that energy was designed to be immortal and not end. He placed that life force of energy within us, and therefore we have the capacity to use the life force for life or death. We have the ability to choose how we're going to use the energy that has been given us. Again, Deuteronomy 30:19, this day I call the heavens and earth as a witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Choose life. And I encourage you, choose life. There is a force in the universe which we permit it to flow through us and produce miraculous results. Mahatma Gandhi said that. He understood some things. Spiritual people recognize pure energy force within the universe. They just don't know who that energy is. It's not an impersonal force. It's not just a cosmic consciousness. It is God, Father, Son, and Spirit. His energy is the energy in which all things exist. His energy is the energy by which all things are held together. Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. We exist within that energy field. And this created physical universe is connected to the energy of the unseen realm, and everything that we see has come from that unseen realm and is held together by it. It's called zero point energy, quantum field energy. He is the life force energy of the universe. Human energy fields. We all have an energy field that we produce. A few decades ago, science denied the existence of any form of human energy. Now, with the advances in technology, specifically with a device called SQUID, superconducting quantum interference device, a magnetometer, then they can begin to detect some of this. And they can measure the electrical activity that's coming off your heart, your brain, in that way. Tiny and magnetic fields have been detected from biochemical and physiological activities within the body. We are producing an energy field from the life that's within us. Using this device, scientists have learned that all the tissues and organs of the body produce specific vibrations. So that can be used to help bring diagnostic things in healing, or to bring healing to bring the body into wholeness, to be resonating with life and health. All of these things now become possible. But it's also possible to give off negative energies, bad attitudes, stinking thinking, negative emotions, anger, unforgiveness. All of these things produce different energy fields around us that we can actually detect ourselves, because our spirit can detect the different energies that people give off. And if you tune your spirit in, you can begin to see them and engage them. People call them auras, but you can begin to pick up the colors that people are giving off as an indication of the frequencies that they're generating. Love. You have this amazing energy of love, the higher frequency of love. Depression, a lower frequency. Contempt, pride, shame. All these things produce different energy fields around us. We need the love energy field, the joy energy field, the enlightenment energy field, the peace energy field to produce and live in rest. Over the last 10 years, this has become so universally accepted that even the United States federal government has come out in publicity, publicly agreeing. Almost all health issues originate in one problem. They say stress. So when we talk about stress, we're not talking about circumstantial issues that we usually think about as stress, things that are stressing us. It's a physiological stress that results in illness and disease. It is produced from the way we're thinking and feeling. Stress is related to how we think. That will determine how we feel. Psychological stress is when our nervous system is out of balance. Where there is negative energy, where once there was positive energy, there is a lack of balance. Where stress is called an imbalance within a certain area of the body, then it's open to illness and disease. By receiving the correct energy vibrations, we can bring energy balance back into the body. We can impart the frequencies that will entrain or resonate with the lower frequencies and draw them back to a higher frequency. Apply the frequency of love and you can bring a restoration to our physical being. Switch on the Brain. This is a book by Dr. Caroline Leaf, and I would encourage you to see that there are people out there that God has given some keys to who are experts in these things. I am not an expert. I have some revelation knowledge by engaging God, but I'm pointing you to others who know a lot more than I do, and they can help you. But you can also go to God yourself and allow Him to take you through this process. And so you can engage the 21-day detox plan and other things. The key to peak happiness, thinking, and health. DNA in our thinking. The following section has some quotes from this book. It also contains a 21-day brain detox plan from toxic thinking. And this is the key. Toxic thinking. Do not allow toxic thinking to control your emotions and your health. To quote Caroline Leaf, communication pathologist and audiologist who's worked in the field of neuroscience since 1985, all thinking activity is real and can be seen on brain imaging. Just the mind activity from engaging with the last few sentences generates electromagnetic, electrochemical, and quantum action in your neurons. So as soon as you start thinking about something, actually something starts to take place in reality. Thinking is not independent from the physiological aspects. Our brain and our consciousness are not the same, but they function together. So that causes magnetic fields that can be measured, electrical impulses that can be tracked, chemical effects that can be seen and measured, photons to be activated that can be captured on computer screens. Literally, your brain has the capacity to change things. It is so powerful. Your consciousness, the way you think, has the capacity to choose and embrace a new reality, to create a new reality, or get stuck in your past or present reality. It's all to do with how you think. Energy activity that can be explained using quantum physics. vibrations in the membranes of the neurons that can be picked up by instrumentation. This combined activity sets up an intricate and organized sequence of actions of neurotransmitters, proteins, and energy that forms a signal. Something is being transmitted. Your thinking has just created a powerful signal that's going to change the landscape of your brain. This signal, because your thinking is not your brain, your thinking has, or your consciousness, or your mind, has created this signal. You've created that signal, it passes through the membrane of the cell, travels to the cell's nucleus, and enters the chromosome, activating a strand of DNA. And this is just awesome, and God has created it this way. The DNA is zipped up like a cocoon until it's activated or unzipped by the signal. As it is opened and the code is read, the RNA, a type of protein that's almost acts like a photocopier, makes a photocopy of the code which serves as a guide or architectural plan to build the proteins within the cell. And this is how our body was designed to be renewing itself and to come into alignment with how we think. So just imagine what negative thinking is producing within your body. It is producing a huge toxic effect on your whole being because of the way you think. Think what would happen if your thinking was totally positive and aligned with the mind of Christ and the thoughts of God, which it says we have. We have the mind of Christ available to us, the anointed mind of sonship. And when we think like a son, our whole being will be aligned to that thinking, which will bring this signal to activate health and wholeness within our physical body. But our thinking, the renewing of our thinking to agree with God, and this is what metanoia is, what has been translated wrongly in English as repentance, actually means with mind, with God's mind, agreeing with God's mind. So our thinking is agreed with his thinking. Our thoughts have the power to produce health and wholeness within our physical, emotional, mental life, our whole being. Spirit, soul, and body can be whole. These proteins that you've just caused to be built by your thought process hold the information that you have just received through a thought or a memory. It's what you do with it is the problem. You've created a substance. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see that substance, but that substance is powerfully at work, negative or positive. A study by the Institute of Heart Math showed thinking and feeling anger, fear, and frustration causes DNA to respond by tightening up, becoming shorter, switching off many DNA codes, causing a shutdown in our body. These things are powerful and negatives that can affect us. Think about love, think about good things, think, be grateful, and you'll find that things begin to bring life within your body, not death. However, this was also shown to be reversed by feelings of love, joy, peace, appreciation, gratitude. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And when it means dwell, that means putting that whole process of producing a thought that becomes a signal that's stored in the cells that can be triggered to produce life and health and wholeness. That's what dwelling means in this context. Researchers also found that HIV positive patients who had positive thoughts and feelings had 300,000 times more resistance to the disease than those without positive feelings. Conclusion: when we choose to engage toxic thoughts, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment, irritation, etc., we change our DNA, which changes our brain wiring. And that triggers negativity, which produces illness or makes us susceptible to illness or sickness or disease. The good news, a positive attitude and a good choices around thinking has the result of rewiring everything back to the original healthy positive state. It's not an irreversible situation. Neural pathways linked to negative memories can be broken open and fresh neural pathways creating to positive things can be stored in our thinking. Gratitude rewrites our brains and promotes health. Everything becomes an opportunity, not an obligation. Fear is cast out by perfect love. So let's engage perfect love and not live in fear. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Through our thoughts, we can make our own microsurgeons. As we make our choices, they will change the circuits of our brain. So you can't just rewire your brain in an independent way through the same thoughts that you've had. We need higher thoughts. We need God's thoughts. We need to come into agreement with the mind of God, and our thinking will be renewed. You can't fix the problem with the same thing that created the problem, which is the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. We need to fix the problem with the knowledge of the tree of life, with the experience of engaging the fruit of the tree of life. That begins to change our whole brain circuitry, and our thinking and our minds and our consciousness is expanded to believe what God believes. We are designed to do our own brain surgery, rewire our brains by the choice of our thinking, but when our thinking is aligned with God's. You cannot rewire your brain just by focusing on a scripture or trying to believe it. You engage with God, who gives us his faith, so we do believe what he says out of the relational experience that we've had, not intellectual knowledge. You cannot rewire your brain just with intellectual knowledge. That is the knowledge that comes through humanistic, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Heart knowledge or experiential knowledge, embracing the reality of those experiences, will rewire our thinking, renew our minds, and change everything to align with that truth. So again, let's focus on the good things, those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Think about those things. Focus your thinking on God. Thinking God's thoughts will reset our DNA to his DNA, to his energy, his life, to that eternal quality of life. Start to take captive your thoughts and reprogram your DNA. This is an active thing that we can do. We can focus our thinking on him. To quote Joe Dispenza, a leading neuroscientist, the body does not know the difference between the experience and the memory of the experience. Or put differently, the body does not know the difference between the physical experience or a thought experience, imagined experience. So we can effectively imagine the reality of something and it has the same effect on us as if it's the physical reality, negatively and positively. So you can think of a traumatic experience in your past and it will have a present effect in your life. Or you can actually think about and reimagine an experience you've had with God, and that's the fruit of that experience will be continual. That's why testimony is so powerful. The testimony of our experiences opens up that experience for other people, and we can re-embrace the experience and live in that. So you do not necessarily need physical things. Even your imagination can create things that become positive to our physical life. Our brain does not know the difference between what we're imagining and what we're experiencing. Therefore, when we mentally rehearse things, we install new neurological hardware. That's why we can think of and call things into being that do not exist yet, but with our creative minds. everything that you see around you today that has been made by somebody first started off in their minds. They had a thought, they had an idea, they had an image, and they rehearsed that image, and eventually that image was produced onto a plan, and then it produced into reality. The same is true when we start to rehearse or go over, meditate is another word for this. We meditate on the truth, and that truth brings us into the reality of the truth. That is all going on within our consciousness. Our consciousness has the ability to choose realities. We need to ensure that what we're rehearsing is positive and life-giving. Meditate on the truth. Worry is negative meditation. Meditating, rehearsing the negatives, what ifs. Fear is negative rehearsing. Let's make sure that we focus on the positive, the life-giving. Neuroscience says positive thinking can move our brain function from being stuck in the past, and we can use our brain function to create a map of the future. That is why we can call things into being that do not yet exist physically, but they will begin to manifest. This is quantum observation. This is when we choose to observe the reality, which are the possibilities that exist in God for our destiny, and we can call them into being by focusing on them. This is just science. Jesus says, as we do this, we begin to release the life force within us, the authority of sonship, to create our future. We can call our future into being by aligning with God's eternal now perspective, engaging it in heaven in the as it is, standing in the four faces of God governmentally as the order of Melchizedek, and we can bring a manifestation of that by ruling the earth. Light and sound, they're also ways of engaging in these healing modalities. God is love and light. Therefore, love's light is our sonship revealed as we arise and shine. We emanate a frequency of love as light from our physical body. This is transfiguration. Our identity is revealed through engaging the light of truth. When we engage face to face and we see in the mirror of his face our origin, our identity, God's original intent and purpose revealed, in that reflection, it begins to transform us into that image. Jesus is the way, truth, and life, and reveals our destiny and eternal identity as the light of the world. And we can see that light, and that light can transform us. John 1:1-4, in the beginning was the Word. Now we're talking about Jesus and what he spoke. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. That is the things that he has created from the beginning. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So God, the Word, created everything. Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now this was the recreation event, looking to bring us back to what was lost in the first creation. It was reported in the Telegraph on the 26th, which is a newspaper in the UK, on the 26th of April 2016, that researchers in ovarian biology in Northwest University, Chicago, discovered human life begins with a flash of light. Now they're trying to say that that's zinc chemical producing that light, but I believe that's the Spirit coming into the physical created being. An explosion of tiny sparks emits from a human egg at the exact moment of conception. We are created by light, and our spirit is light. We are created by light as light beings. Jesus is the light of the world, and now we are the light of the world. All light comes from him, but it radiates through us. Light is a fundamental part of who we are and how we function. We need light to remain healthy. And you need light to produce minerals, vitamins within your body. Light is made up of various colors or radiant frequencies. If you place light through a prism, you'll find that it's split into the colors of the rainbow: violet, blue, green, yellow, orange, red, and indigo. is producing different frequencies, the visible spectrum of light. That's usually from 400 nanometers to 750 nanometers. Chromopathy, color therapy, chromo means color and pathy means the technique of treatment, is a positive thing. Through chromopathy, many chronic diseases can be treated by just bringing us into the right frequency of light. It's an alternative medicine method. It uses light in the forms of colors to balance energy lacking in a person's body. And you can go into a light booth and you can have light. It also activates TPN and other things that can enable you to engage in a supernatural meditative experience and have revelation. So it opens up something within the body for encounters with God. Ancient Egyptians and the Greeks used color and light for healing. In Europe in the Middle Ages, cathedrals had booths made of colored glass where people would go to pray for and be healed. We see a remnant of this in the stained glass windows of today. Light is part of the electromagnetic spectrum and ranges from radio waves to gamma waves. Electromagnetic radiation waves, as their name suggests, are fluctuations of electric and magnetic fields, which is the movement of energy from one location to another. This is movement. That energy is color, can penetrate into our bodies and heal the deficiency, therefore healing the body. Sound. Any sound, whatever it may be, is caused by something vibrating. We pick up the vibrating sound waves of energy from our ears, capture it, turn it into audio signals and interpret it in the brain. Just as our eye picks up light, vibrating energy, turns it into an electrical impulse and interprets in our brain. Everything is interpreted in our brain. Sometimes it's audible and other times it's not. Creation was created by frequency when God brooded over everything. God spoke it. Jesus spoke it as the word into being. And he restored it and recreated it by brooding, by vibrating and bringing it back into oneness from the form it came, from what happened when things went wrong in the first creation, which was being prepared for us. Joshua 6:16-20. Remember, they were going to take Jericho, and they all walked together in unity around there 13 times. And on the seventh time, on the seventh day, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." When the trumpet sounded and the army shouted, at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged in and they took the city. The wall literally went into the ground because the ground opened because of the frequency of their shout. Just like the frequency of an opera singer's voice can shatter a wine glass, the frequency of the trumpets and their voices opened up the ground and it swallowed up the walls. Scientists clear Alzheimer's plaque from mice using only light and sound. Clumps of harmful proteins that interfere with brain functions have been partially cleared in mice using nothing but light and sound. Research led by MIT has found strobe lights and low-pitched buzz can be used to recreate brain waves lost in the disease, which in turn remove plaque and improve cognitive function in mice engineered to display Alzheimer's-like behavior. Light and sound are both vibrations. Vibrations impact the makeup of the body. A quote taken from sciencealert.com. And again, these are things which you're finding more and more out there as these things are being discovered. Vibrational energy. Dr. Royal Raymond Rife discovered one of the most groundbreaking medical tools in the last 100 years. He invented the world's best optical microscope and subsequently discovered that microbes in cancer cells could be totally devitalized by radio frequencies, which left patients unharmed. Due to financial and political interest, his discoveries were driven underground and much of his work was destroyed. In 1934, the University of Southern California appointed a special medical research committee to bring 16 terminal cancer patients from Pasadena County Hospital to Rife's San Diego laboratory and clinic for treatment. The team included doctors, pathologists assigned to examine the patients if still alive in 90 days. After 3 months of treatment, the committee concluded that 14 of the patients had been completely cured. This is from terminal illness. The treatment was then adjusted and the remaining two also cured within the next 4 weeks. On November 20, 1931, 44 of the nation's most respected medical authorities honoured Royal Rife with a banquet billed as the end to all diseases at the Pasadena estate of Dr. Milbank Johnson. By 1939, 8 years later, almost all of these distinguished doctors and scientists were denying that they ever met Rife. This complete reversal was the result of pressure from the drug companies on them. Pressure is a very nice way of saying it. This was severe intimidation. On the eve of a press conference to announce the results in 1934 study on Rife's cancer therapy, Dr. Milbank Johnson, former president of the South California AMA, was fatally poisoned and his papers lost. You can say conspiracy theory. Doesn't mean that all conspiracy theories aren't based in fact. Also, after a failed attempt by Morris Fishbein to buy the rights to Rife's healing instruments for the medical drug industry, Rife's labs were destroyed by arson and sabotage. Dr. Nemes, who had duplicated some of the work of Rife, was killed in a mysterious fire which destroyed all his research paper. A similar fire also destroyed the Burnett lab, which was validating Rife's work. Royal Rife himself was killed in 1971 by an accidental, so-called, lethal dose of Valium and alcohol at Grossmont Hospital. Thankfully, some of Rife's records were subsequently discovered. Today, there are two not-for-profit organizations researching cancer solutions in a different way. The Independent Cancer Research Foundation, Incorporated, being one, and they published the Truth About Cancer series and the Cancer Tutor website, www.cancertutor.com. Another is the American Anti-Cancer Institute. Now, these are operating, looking for true cures, not poisons through drug companies. These resources are being made available so that people who are suffering from cancer and other diseases are able to benefit free of charge from these discoveries. And they can pursue their own discovery with in-home research into the effects of high radio frequencies by buying and using these machines in their own homes. I have a spooky 2 Rife machine myself for family use at home to try it out, and I'm experimenting using different frequencies. It can operate remotely via quantum entanglement to do biofeedback scans. It's an amazing piece of equipment. You can do different things with it. It comes with a very extensive handbook and a computer program, which is linked to thousands and thousands of different frequencies, ailments from A to Z, and their corresponding frequencies. And when you do a biofeedback scan, you discover there are what call hits, where the frequencies are hitting something and that is detected by the detector. And then you know that those frequencies are frequencies that you can then apply to destroy the frequencies which are negative and entrain the body back into wholeness. It's like using a jackhammer. You smash the frequencies with higher frequencies to destroy them so that then you can be free from the effects of those things in your body. There's lots more to it. I would encourage you to look it up. This Spooky 2 has got a website. They've got lots of testimonial. You can even download the software and look at the software and see how it works even before you would buy the equipment. I believe that God is using these things today. I don't personally apply it to myself. I was applying it to my wife and one of my daughters to produce sleep. And I thought I'd put my own DNA from a fingernail within it as well. And I find that I was struggling to wake up. It was producing such good sleep that it was causing me to sleep longer than I actually even need to. So I believe this works. I believe it has a positive effect. And I believe that we can use it in treating people. We cannot call it therapy as in medicinal therapy because you're going to run into trouble with the things, but you can say that you are operating these things in experiments on yourself. Dr. Rife's work culminated with the Smithsonian Institute publishing the following quote in their 1944 annual report. Disease organisms such as tuberculosis, cancer, sarcoma, typhoid, and others may be observed to succumb when exposed to certain lethal frequencies peculiar to each individual organism and directed upon them by rays conveying a wide range of waves. That is what a Rife machine does. That's what Spooky 2 does. There is a man in the US who's a veteran, Vietnam veteran. He brought himself back from stage 4 prostate cancer when he was sent away from the hospital to die. He now raises money and buys machines for other veterans who are sent away with no hope. All but one of the people he's worked with are still alive today. This thing does work. But you do have to believe it, agree with it, and come into cooperation with it. Think on that to get your mind producing the substance that then is at work through these waves to bring healing. There's got to be an agreement. It's not magic. It works with science and it works with our consciousness. Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. Albert Einstein. We're going to look at more next time, but I encourage you, we're going to go into some activations. We'll do a few activations, small activations, looking at how we can engage in frequency and sound and light and different things, but using the mind to do it. So it's really important that we start off at a place of rest. Now, again, I would just encourage you to come to that place of rest. Don't try and figure this out mentally and then get all confused. Just rest. Start thinking about your breathing. Focus your breathing and slow it down. Start thinking of the name of God, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Breathe in deeply and then exhale slowly, Yod. Breathe in Vav and breathe out Hey. So breathe in Hey, breathe out Vav. And just repeat. Start thinking and focusing your thinking on God, on His love. Invite love, joy, and peace as an atmosphere, as the presence of Father, Son, and Spirit within you. Focus your thinking on love, gratitude, being joyful about life, and peace, not being at war with anyone, no unforgiveness. Just focus your thinking. Let love, joy, and peace fill your soul. Surround your whole body in an atmosphere of rest. Be at rest in a safe place. Now, from that place of rest, from that place where you're just at peace, we can begin to engage with the essence of who God is as love. So just start to think about stepping into Him. Just start thinking about stepping into His life force, into His energy, into love and light. Just think about it. Picture it. Picture in your imagination stepping into Him. Now, some of you will be able to step into Him. Others are just stepping into the picture that you've created, which is equally as valid. Feel His energy surround you. Be immersed in love and light. Swallowed up by life. Life all around you. At peace. Drink that life in. Let it fill every part of your being. Spirit, soul, your conscience, your imagination, your mind. Subconscious, conscious, unconscious, your emotions, your will, choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. feel the clothing of your heavenly dwelling coming around you. You're in immortality, dwelling within immortality. Feel the mortality of your physical body being swallowed up by immortality, life and health and wholeness. And you can practice these exercises over and over. Think about your favorite place, a place that brings you joy. And remember the last time you were there. Remember the feelings of joy and contentment you felt. It may be a place that you've gone in heaven. It may be the garden of your heart. It may be a physical location. Start picturing and imagining that place. Rest in the feelings that are generated, whether they be love, joy, peace. Just rest in that place, within the image of that place. Go deeper into that memory. Let those feelings in that memory, the memory of that place you were, in the physical, in the engagement that you've had, let them surround you. Let them bring you into that place. Now just begin to increase this activation. Your imagination is not a second-class citizen. Faith is a substance. It's first generated with our spirit in our imagination. Our imagination generates a substance. So embrace the peace who is God. Think of peace. Think of being totally serene, calm within him. No worry, no anxiety, no fear. Perfect love, casting out fear. The peace that passes human understanding that he has left for us to enjoy. Feel the love of the Father within that peace. Allow the Holy Spirit to take your imagination, fuel your thoughts, show you whatever he wants to show you. If there's something specifically that you want to know, ask him to give you revelation, his mind about that situation, that circumstance, perhaps that sickness, perhaps that area of ill health, whether it be physical, mental, or emotional. Engage your spirit to work with your imagination to generate the substance that's going to reset your thinking and your DNA. Focus your thinking in the center of your mind, within your heart. See that substance forming. See life swallowing up death. Just rest in that place. Just in that place of rest, ask if there's a color that you're deficient in. Just ask God to show you. You may see a color, you may feel the color, you may just get the name of a color. Just ask him. Maybe it's red, maybe it's yellow, maybe it's green or blue. Just ask him to give you that color. Is that deficiency affecting a physical condition? Ask him to show you the link between the lack of that color, that energy, and anything you may be suffering from. Now then, just choose to receive that color. Picture that color. Jesus is light. The refracted light receives the color from him that you need. Receive that color. It's immersing you. that color, as you visualize it in your imagination, is flooding into your whole being. Your imagination is generating the substance of faith. Your imagination is generating many things to bring you into health and wholeness. That color is being generated. The substance of the color you need is being generated as you think about it, as you direct it, as you allow it to impact your whole being. Engage your choice and work with your imagination to generate the substance to reset your body and reset your DNA. Embrace the reality of it. Just rest in that color. I'm producing the color red with this sound. Orange. Yellow. Sound is energy. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." He's going to sing over us. It resets our frequency. When he sings over us, it's his blessing. So let's just rest and allow him to sing over us right now. Resting in the sound of his voice, in the oracles of his heart, in passion, the passion he has for your wholeness, in the burning desire that he has for your relationship, in the intense joy he feels about you when he sees you, in the wonderful deep compassion that he has, and in the overwhelming love. Rest in it. Let him sing over you. Feel the vibrations of his singing. You may feel words, you may feel vibrations. Let him sing and reset you, bring you back into that place where you're resting. You can engage God in the realms of heaven and experience that here. You can engage in the garden of your heart and activate that within you. You can engage that in your spirit. You can engage in God's heart in eternity. Everything is open for you. Start fixing your thinking on those positive things, those things which are above. And embrace the reality of the life of God that belongs to you as a son of God. And practice these things. Practice the presence, the energy, the life of God that you live in. And embrace the health and wholeness that it brings to your physical, emotional, mental state of being. You will be whole, at peace, living in the rest, living loved, loving living, and living loving. At rest.